All right, let's go through our Bibles this morning. We're going to talk about the witness of the heart, the witness of the spirit, and I'm going to call this following the peace of God, following the peace of God. And I'm going to find some texts with you. We're going to look to John chapter 14 and John 15 and John 16. There's three verses in there that Jesus gave us. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit, and he introduces the Spirit to the church. John 14, 26. I'm reading the King James Version. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. And then the, I don't know why I got King the twice here. It says here the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. You know the word Comforter has seven meanings from the original language in the Greek there. And we need to understand that he's the one that's called alongside to help us. He's a teacher, you know. He's the one that's gonna be strengthening you. That one of the words of this word Comforter is actually in the Greek word Paraclete. Paraclete. And I used to, when I was in Bible school, I tried to remember that word paraclete, and I always remind myself about a pair of cleats. So I remember that by association, paraclete. So paraclete, it means one called alongside to help. Or, you know, it says helper as well. Helper. And he's our strength. He's the strengthener. He's the strengthener. He's the comforter. And, you know, another word for that is that he's an intercessor. He'll help you pray. He'll pray the will of God. He's not going to pray just normal prayers. He'll pray the will of God. He's the intercessor. That's why when you kick into the Spirit and you pray in tongues, he'll pray the perfect will of God for your life. And thank God that he'll do that. And if you look at an immemorial, you begin to realize that he is all that. So Jesus said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he will teach you. He'll teach you all things. So this Comforter on the inside of us is a teacher. He's come to teach you whatever you need to understand in the Word of God. He'll also bring to you remembrance. In other words, he'll jog your memory on things that you need to remember. Not just your coat when you live in the car, but he'll help you with that. But he'll show you about the Word of God. About Jesus. One of the things he'll do, he'll teach you about the Lord himself. So he'll teach you all things and remind you of things. And let's go to John 16, 13. John 16, 13, Jesus talking again about the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. He said, how be it when he, understand the Holy Ghost is a he or is a person, and he's not just some kind of a cloud or some kind of a feeling or some kind of mist. Holy Spirit, he's a person. He has feelings. He has emotions. The Bible says he can be grieved. The Spirit of God can be grieved, and he can pull back on you. And you can. The Bible says you can shut up the Holy Spirit. You can. He'll not speak to you if you don't speak to him. And if you live wrong, he actually grieves. The Scripture says, and he also speaks. And he'll tell you things. So he is a person. So when we begin to realize that Holy Spirit is a person, we'll begin to treat him that way. And we'll behave ourselves because somebody's inside you. Brother Hagin used to say, what is the Holy Spirit doing inside you? Is he a spiritual hitchhiker going through the life? No, he's in there for a reason. So it says here, John 16, 13, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, he'll guide you into all truth. So, you know, think about this. When you're behaving wrong, you might get a check in your spirit that what you're doing is wrong, or you should be doing something a little extra, whatever it is. That's the Spirit inside you checking you, telling you something might not be right, or that you have to do something. Like, for instance, you know, I know this happens to me a lot. If I go to the mall, or if I go to shopping, if I have a cart, the Spirit always says, take that back to where you got it from. And I said, well, there's people out there, they get paid to do that. No, you take it back. You know, so he tells you different things. So if you don't listen to that, then you'll begin to do that in other areas of your life. You'll begin to not listen to him in different areas. So you have to be very sensitive to that voice on the inside of you. He said, he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. You know, he doesn't speak about himself. I remember the Lord talking to me, and to me it was Jesus talking to me, but it was the Spirit of God talking to me. You know, Jesus said he's going to be like me. He'll say things. He's like me, but he's not. And people don't understand this because and other religions don't understand about the Trinity. They don't accept the Trinity, but we do because the Bible says so. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. In other words, he's going to help you be prepared for tomorrow. I remember Brother Higgins saying something years ago. He said, you know, I've never in my life had something happen in my family where someone died or something significant that the Spirit of God didn't forewarn me or tell me about something's going to happen. So he'll always show you things to come and to prepare you so that it's not going to be a shock and so on. So he'll tell you, he'll prepare you things to come. We have to be very careful to listen to him when he begins to talk to us. So he guides us into all truth, not just Bible truth, but truth about everything in your life. We have personal things in your life. If your house is not clean or whatever, he's going to tell you stuff to get ready and to be prepared and to act right or clean up your whatever it is. And then I remember Brother Hagin used to tell us that even the Spirit of God will tell you about your diet, you know, what to leave off. He said there's some people who had different problems physically, and the Spirit of God says, leave salt out, or take more salt, or eat more chicken, or whatever it is. He'll tell you something, right? He'll begin to speak to you about those kind of things. And so, over in Romans chapter 8, in verse 14, Paul the Apostle also talks about that same person called the Holy Spirit. He says here in Romans 8, 14, for as many as are led, everybody say led. Led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So what we're talking about this morning is being led by the Spirit. And specifically, we're talking about the witness. The witness. The Spirit of God leads us by a witness on the inside of us. And, you know, he'll tell you the truth about stuff. He'll witness something to you on the inside. He says that the scripture says that sons of God, children of God, can be led by the Holy Spirit. Everybody can say this with me. Say, I can be led by the Spirit of God. Say, God leads me in every detail of my life. So this is what the Spirit of God is talking to us. You know, God's saying here that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. In other words, the sons of God are led by the Spirit. And so he'll do that in different ways. We want to show you one area. We want to show you about the witness and what that actually witness is. And, you know, in life, we've all been led by different things. We've made decisions, perhaps bad ones, some really good ones. For some reason, we've made some good decisions because we followed procedure, we followed, you know, good wisdom, and we've all been led, and we've all been led by different other things in life that which is not the Spirit. We've been led by our, you know, we can say we've been led by our own mind. It's good to be led by your mind if your mind is led, if your mind is in line with the Holy Spirit, is in line with the Word of God. And so we need to ask ourselves once in a while, is our thinking in line with the Scriptures? And if we have renewed our mind, changed our mind with God's Word, then it's okay to be led with your mind if it's in sync with the Word of God. We've been led by things like our own personal thoughts about things. We've been led by logic. You know, logic is good, but sometimes the Holy Ghost, he'll lead you to things that's not logic. He'll tell you to give 10% of your salary away. And when it's in bad time, that doesn't seem logical for some things. Or give away your last $20. It's not logical. You got to get home. You need gas money. I've had that happen to me where the Spirit of God gave, we've given away our last $1,000. We're far away from home. And we felt led to do it. It just felt electric to give it. But after the anointing departed, when I was outside, I didn't feel like, why did I give that money? And, you know, it's easy to give under the anointing. It's easy to give when the anointing is there. But the Lord will check you. You'll check yourself because you'll think, I might have done that. You know, I might have given that away and, you know, out of the will of God. But the Lord will tell you things that anything you do for his name, you'll never lose it. Anything you do for Jesus' name, give money away, do something for people, it'll always come back to you because you're doing it in the name of Jesus. That's why the Bible says that even though a man misses it, a person misses God, God will always make it up to you. Isn't that wonderful? He'll do that for you. So sometimes we're led by our own ideas. Sometimes we're led by statistics. We're led by needs. You know, God is not necessarily led by needs. He's led by faith. Somebody said if he was led by needs, he'd be moving greatly in city in areas where there's lots of needs. But he's not moving where there's people are starving. People are ungodly, under ungodly governments and stuff. But God is being led. I mean, we're leading, following the ways of God. And so we want to follow the Holy Ghost. We're led by price sometimes. Well, how much does it cost? How many hours will it take me to work at the church? It doesn't seem logical to give an hour or two to the church because I got too much to do. And God's been speaking to you for years, but you haven't done it yet. And so, you know, it doesn't make sense to you. You have to follow God. You're not always led by price. You're not always led by statistics or logic. Your desires. You know, I can think of a lot of desires I wanted to do. Not ungodly desires, but things that I wanted to do. But God says, go into the ministry. Do this. Read your Bible. Study. I could have thought about a lot of things I could have done. It's not against God. You know, over in Hebrews 12, talks about it there, that we should put away different things to run the race of God. You know, in Hebrews 12, it talks about the race of God. Running your own race. How many people are running their own race? Say amen. Running your own race. You're not running somebody else's race. You're not running mama's race, grandpa's race, or your cousin's race, or the race of people of, they're telling you what to do, and there's pressures in life, and you have to do certain things. We have to run our own race. So mind your own business. Let them run their own race. Let somebody run their own race. Amen. So you're not the Holy Spirit. In case you didn't know, because sometimes people like to tell everybody what they should do. And so we need to run our own race because there's some things that we need to put away, our own desires. It might not be God's priorities that you do certain things in life. And so God wants you to follow Him, not them or you. And so sometimes we try to follow God and do everything all at the same time. Right? And it's driving you crazy. Okay? So, and that's what happens to people. They want to follow God, but they want to do this, they want to do that. And so they're all confused. Some people follow their feelings. If I feel led, if I feel like going to church, if I feel like serving, if I feel like giving, you'll never know what it is to follow God if you're going to go by your feelings. It's too cold outside. Some people are led by whether they're lazy or not, tired. They're led by their feelings. They're led by their emotions, something like depression. I feel depressed today, so I don't feel like seeing anybody. You have to ask yourself, is that what God says? If you're depressed, stay home. That He might tell you to go out more. Anger. Some people are led by anger. Some people are led by their hate. And some people just, they want to love everybody. And they love everybody to death. And we don't want you around loving here anymore. Go home. So sometimes, you know, there's some people that they just feel they want to help you all the time. But anyway, Romans 8:14 says, we're led by the Spirit of God. So we all of us can be led by God's Spirit. In the past, we've been led by other things. In the past, we let things lead us. But the Bible says that we also can be led by various lusts. In the New Testament, it said that we can be led by our own lusts. Things that really, enjoyable to our flesh or to our bodies. And sometimes you can be led by needs. You know, we need something or somebody needs something so because they need something. You ever notice that somebody has a need and they've been living out of the will of God and they want you to help them? I remember Brother Hagin saying this. He said, I miss God. I terribly miss God once, and I took a ministry. I started serving in a ministry where God didn't want me. And so I was suffering financially, and I had people who was giving me money. They're all helping me stay out of the will of God, And so he said, God doesn't have to fund your disobedience. He don't have to fund your disobedience. He only funds people who can follow him, his plan and his purpose. And so check on yourself if whether or not you're in the will of God. If you're lacking a whole pile of things and you don't have enough time, you don't have enough energy, you don't have enough money, you seem to run out of a lot of good feelings, but you have a lot of bad feelings. You got a lot of those, but not a whole lot of good ones. It's time to start sowing seed. Amen. Sow some good seed. And take somebody out, and people say, well, how come no one ever tells me nice things? Well, have you been telling people nice things? I made it a name lately to the people close to me particularly, because we can take them for granted, like my wife. Pastor Ken, amen? We need to tell our wives how much we love them more often and hug them and tell them how much we appreciate them and pat them on the back or... my wife is different. People they have different languages of showing love, right? I could buy my wife a diamond ring. She wouldn't even look at it and say, oh, yeah, that's nice. But if I did the whole house, if I clean up everything, clean the fridge, the floors, wash the floors, did all this kind of stuff, she'll love me. Oh, she thinks I'm the greatest. So it's a different love language. Yeah. So it's a different thing. People find, like some people, they just love to be, they love notes or something. They love to be told certain things, right? So I don't know, leave a love note in her sock drawer or something. Big, long letter. Say how many things, I'm sorry about this, sorry about that. Well, I didn't know you'd do all that bad stuff. You should have left it out. Now you're sleeping outside. But anyway, we can be led by needs. And because of your needs, there's somebody that was calling me. They were in great need on the street. And I've warned them time and time again, on and on. Every week, every month, I kept giving this, giving that. And they're on the street and say, I need a warm jacket now. I said, well, I'm not going to be funding your disobedience. Follow God. Give yourself to the Lord. That's funny. It's so simple, and yet people don't want to do it. They want to do it their way, but they want you to help them. Okay. So, I don't know. I got people like that in my life. The Bible says that we can be led by different things. And so, we can be led by circumstances. If this is not right, if that's not right, I'm going to do this. If this comes up, what a way to be led by life, in life, and by circumstances. Allowing the changes of life determine what we do. That's not always good. We're led by people, what people think about us, how people feel about us. We make choices based on what people think about us. And I remember, when I was struggling with different things, I didn't want people to know about certain things I've made. I remember going to take treatment for my addictions. I didn't want to let anybody know that I went to a treatment center. It's kind of funny because they all knew I was on the street. And all my names in the paper, they knew I was in jail. But now I don't want anybody to know I'm in AA. They should call it something else. They shouldn't call it Alcoholics Anonymous. They should call it, something like Alcoholics Public. I don't know. It works better if it's anonymous. But anyway, I didn't want anybody to know. And I didn't want anybody to know I was now a Christian at first, right? Didn't want anybody to know. It's like a secret agent. You know, and that's why I have a black Bible so no one sees it. It was a small one. It's a very small one. So, you know, we make choices like that. It's crazy. We feel like sometimes we don't do things because we're depressed. We're led by our depression. Mondays always makes me feel down. That's one of the songs the Carpenters sang in the 70s. Like, rainy days and Mondays always makes me down or something like that. But anyway, that's their favorite song. Mondays, the blues. I don't have the blues on Mondays. I've changed it to Wednesdays now. Okay, change it. So anyway, so we shouldn't be led by emotions and these kind of things because that'll drive you crazy. All these things, we need to have here's another one. Romans 8:15, he says, For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Bible says that fear, is a bondage, or bondage is a fear. So either or. We're not going to be led by fears, people making decisions just by fear alone. We need to come to God because we love God. Of course, maybe we're afraid of different things, but to come to Him and serve Him. So we received this, the spirit of adoption, what we call Abba Father. So the spirit itself, verse 16 says, the spirit itself, or the word himself, bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God, that we are the children of God. So the word witness in that verse of scripture means to bear testimony. To bear testimony, the word witness means to bear testimony. The Spirit of God comes in, He's inside you, He's going to bear testimony, He's going to testify your decisions that you're making is either wrong or right. And He'll give you signals by which those you can determine whether or not God's leading you. So this witness is a testimony. The Holy Spirit bears witness. One scripture says that He's a co-witness. He's a co-witness that He comes along inside you, so your spirit knows God. You're born again, human spirit. You've been recreated in Christ. You're born again now on the inside of you. You have communication with God. God lives inside you. And you know God. Every one of us that's been born again, we know God. And so we communicate with God. God communicates with us. We talk together. We fellowship together. But there's somebody else in the inside of you. He's called Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, when you're walking by faith and you're following the Word as best you can, or you're not following the Word of God, or you're making different plans and making decisions, and the Holy Ghost will come alongside you and He'll tell you that's not right. What you're doing is wrong. There's going to be either a red light on there inside of you. Don't do that. There's going to be a caution light inside of you. Some people say there might be a caution light. Be aware. Like, make a change. Do something before it's too late. There could be just a green light. This is a nice green light that tells you everything's good. Go right ahead. And I remember some things that really are helpful to me, and I just listen to people who follow the Spirit that have actually demonstrated in life that they have followed God for a long time and that they've done well. You need to follow those people that have proven over a long period of time that it's possible to follow God and do good. Brother Hagin used to say this, it was very helpful to me. He said, there's times I just couldn't get couldn't get an answer. I didn't feel like God was really saying anything to me. And the Holy Ghost is not going to say anything to you when you know what you're supposed to do. Because you have the Word. You should always follow the Word. You should always align your decisions based on the Bible, based on Scripture, based on the parameters of Scripture. Stay within that. And there's some things, you know, you can't find Scriptures for different things. You know, travel west, go east, or, you know, slow down in your travels, or give this money. But there's, you know, you can find Scripture by follow God by just reading the Bible and following what the Bible says. But there's some things in life where you don't have a Scripture for it. Mary Jane, that's not in the Scripture. Mary Jane, let's define that Scripture. It's not in there. Buy a Ford truck, it's not in there. There's no Scripture for buying a Ford truck. Become a, you know, I was explaining to my wife, you know, when I was a kid, we had nuns for teachers. They had all the habits. Remember those habits? How many of you had those experiences? You were in a Catholic school and you were taught by nuns. You can tell all the old people do that. I mean, they all raise their hand. We're older now. But we were taught by nuns. I was telling my wife, I said, you know, when I was a kid, you know, it's funny. There's a song called Puppy Love. Remember the song Puppy Love? Well, I fell in love with with a nun. I was only like 5 years old or something like that. But you know, when you're kids, you know, I fell in love with my mother, I remember. I said to my sister, I'm going to marry mom when I'm old. You know, you love your mom so much that you want to be with your mom. I didn't know about all that other stuff. I just loved my mom. But I remember just falling madly in love with with one of the nuns. She was our singing teacher because she treated me so good. And she's cute too. And you know, I was like, you know, I told my wife, I said, you know, funny, it's a kid. You can actually fall in love with people like that. How many people understand what I'm talking about? No one's ever had that in here. So I don't know, what's he talking about? You know? What kind of a gross person is that anyway? Falling in love with a nun. But anyway, let's pretend you never heard that. But anyway, it's funny, you know, you're led by, as a kid, I'm not sure what the point is anymore. It might come back to me. But God will lead all of us by the Holy Spirit, by our spirit. Not by the Holy Spirit himself, but by your own spirit. God will talk to you. God himself will talk to you in your spirit. You know, the funny thing is people don't understand this, that when someone says, God's led me, some people have never understood this. They think that's strange. You're a strange person, that God himself will lead you. But the Bible is full of this information to tell us that God will lead us. And yet there's a whole pile of people that don't know this. And maybe churches haven't taught it the way they should. They should teach it more, because it's kind of weird. In some ways, it's kind of weird that God himself is going to lead you. That it's a strange concept. But the scripture is very clear that God's going to lead us. It's prophesied many, many years. So he wants to lead all of us. And so we're all capable of hearing from God, hearing from heaven. So many of us haven't been taught that it's possible to be led by the Spirit of God. So, you know, we should confess regularly that I'm a child of God. I'm spirit-led. God can lead me. God is leading me right now. Even when you don't have direction, say, God is leading me. Thank God. He's leading me right now when I'm not even aware. You know, God has led you that you weren't even aware that he led you. And you're not that smart to have all these decisions made. Now, God's already he's leading you. So don't be just led by anything. Check your spirit, check your heart, get quiet, and begin to train yourself to be quickly to obey God. Follow his spirit. Romans 8:16 talks about he communicates with our spirits that we are children of God, and that God will lead us. He'll always speak to us. He communicates with us. Even communicates with the unbeliever. Holy Spirit talks to the unbeliever about Jesus, about coming to God. The Bible says that he was beside you before you're born again, but after you're born again, he comes inside you. He is the one that was bringing you to Christ many, many years ago. He's the one that talks to people. So we shouldn't ignore this, what they call this intuition. This witness is also called intuition. It's called an inner guidance. So we should understand we need to be disciplined. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:33. It says that you know, when we want to make decisions, sometimes there's a whole pile of decisions we're trying to make, but there's confusion around that we don't know what's happening. Our mind is giving us trouble. We're trying to make the right decision. The Bible says, let the peace of God be a deciding factor in making any kind of decision in your life. Let the peace of God, or the peace that passes your understanding. Sometimes you say, I don't know why I'm making this decision, but I'm making it anyway. It feels good. It feels right. Somehow, it feels good to make this decision. I'm going to make this decision. And so you go ahead. It says here, 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. It says that God is the God of peace. You know, this is Christmas season. We're in this season now where we always talk about the peace of God, you know, joy to the people and peace to everybody. Well, the Prince of Peace has come, and he lives inside you right now in the person of the Holy Spirit. So if there's peace in your heart, you can follow that and be safe. But if you got confusion and you don't know what to do, and you're trying to go a certain direction, but you don't have clarity, don't do it. Get some peace and get clarity. Don't let confusion make you make a decision, because the devil, he will pressure you to make decisions. As I mentioned earlier, that last week I said, and I made a thing, you know, the devil will always give you two things to choose from. You see, you're going to pick this one, or pick that one. He'll pressure you to make two decisions, to turn this way or go that way. You shouldn't do neither. You need to stop, because God has another plan. He doesn't make you, you know, force you and pressure you to make a decision, you know, in a time when you don't, when you can't make a decision because you're confused. So let the peace of God. Isaiah 55 and 12 says this. I'm reading the King James. For you shall go out with joy. Well, that's a good indication. And be led forth with peace. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, the Bible says. Isaiah 55, 12 says, let the peace of God be led forth with peace. When we're making decisions, we have to have peace about our decision. Let the peace of God lead you in every area. According to Colossians 3:15, you must allow peace to be the deciding factor in every decision that you make. Don't allow the demands of life push you around, lead you by the nose, and then you fall into the enemy's hands when you begin to follow this. Don't be led by pressures, costs, and different things like that. In the parables, it talks about in there, and Jesus talked about the parables. He says there's people that are led by pressures in life and are getting into trouble. You know, you're pressured. You're living in a pressure world. And this pressure is putting on you. Listen, you're not making the right decision. It's not sound judgment. You're just escaping by the skin of your teeth sometimes. You're not getting destroyed. Thank God for his peace. The devil wants to further lead you. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you're also called in one body, and be thankful. I'm reading this from the TPT translation. He said, let your hearts always be guided by peace, of the Anointed One, who called you to peace as part of his one body, and always be thankful. You can look at it in another version. The Amplified version says, the classical edition says, let the peace, soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule or act as an umpire, continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with all finality all questions that arise in your minds. In that peaceful state, to which as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, and giving thanks to God always. Ask yourself the question, should I make this decision? Should I do this? I'm talking to different ones. They're talking about getting married. You should ask yourself, should I marry this person or should I not marry this person? Should I do business with this person? Should I not do business with this person? Should I take this job or take this job? Should I go to this church or should I go to that church? So, what does peace say in your heart? And are you making decisions? Ask yourself, am I making the decision based on what other people are telling me? Is that pressure coming from other people? Is that why I'm trying to please other people? I'm making the decision? Ask yourself those questions. And let the peace of God be the deciding factor. And you say, you know what? I know people want this from me. I know this person said this. I know I'm being led in this way on a social level. I'm being led this way on a money level. Different areas. But on the inside of me, I have the peace of God. So I'm going to make this decision. I'm going to allow God to lead me. So peace makes all the difference in the world when you're making decisions. You know, there's no real peace in the world. The world will offer you some kind of, peace, but it's not real peace. It doesn't last. There's the opposite of peace. You know, there's different things that come opposite of peace. You know, there's fear there. There's anxiousness or anxiety. There's worry to carry. There's burdens. And we shouldn't be led by those things. Sometimes people just led by, we want to get the pressure off right now. Let's just make this decision right now. So they make a decision based on the fact that they can get the pressure off. That's not just always the right decision. So let peace rule in your heart. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of confusion, but he gives us a spirit of peace, a spirit that is not something that's going to be confusing us. So God lives inside of us by the person of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said in John 14:27, that he gives us something that the world cannot give or offer us, and that is peace. We're led by the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of peace inside of us, that we are to be led by that peace every single time. Jesus said, don't let fear trouble you or disturb you in life. Walk in peace, as Jesus said himself. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world give I you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Neither let it be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled. So, are you having heart trouble? Are you having a hard time with your spirit and different things? The Bible says you can stop it right now. You have a choice to be in that turmoil or be at the peace of God. You can say, no, I'm not going to be walking in that confusion. I'm not going to let this feeling inside of me disturb me. I'm going to walk with the peace of God. That's a decision that we all can make. That's a powerful place to be. To say, you know what? I'm going to be led by the peace of God. That's huge to be able to make that decision today. I don't know about you, but I just feel so relieved about that because, you have a choice right now to live by fear or anxiety. You have a choice whether you're going to trust God or not. And so we can't allow ourselves one day to have confusion and have anxiety and to walk in that day by day. We can say, no, Lord, I'm going to turn this all over to you. I'm going to let your peace fill my mind and my heart, and I'm going to follow you. In the name of Jesus, the Bible says here. He says, yea, verse 23, Psalm 4. Yea, do I walk through the valley of shadow of death? I will fear no evil. So that's the choice. That's the choice you make in the valley of death, in the shadow of death. You have a choice to be at peace. That's a powerful place to be, that God has given you that choice. I had, let me just say this one example that someone said. They whenever I talk to people that are very, very ill and near death, you know, of course, after a certain time, they're given sedation, and most of the people, they don't have even any feelings because they're just sedated. But before they're sedated, sometimes people are very fearful of death. But once they're sedated, they don't have any kind of feeling because they're mostly cut off. And, it's hard to talk to people because I've seen people who've been very, very sick and very, very frightened of life after. They haven't settled that there is a life after, and I'm going to go to a better place. And I was telling my wife, hey, listen, if I leave here, I know where I'm going, praise God. There's no fear. I'm not afraid of dying. But I don't want to die now. You know what I'm saying? Like, none of us should be afraid of dying. You go to bed, I'm going to die. Well, praise God. You're going home. Right? And I've done so many funerals over the years. When I was a rookie, I was afraid. I didn't have a lot of questions. I have questions myself. I wonder where they went. Well, it's none of my business. It's not your business either. I wonder if he made it. It's none of your business. I remember I had relatives who died, and I thought, man, they were Christians. And that pondered and bothered me. And of course, I think it probably bothered a lot of you with different things, questions, you know. And I wonder where Granny went. Did they get saved or did they not get saved? My grandmother didn't speak a word of English, and they had Pentecostals coming over doing the Pentecostal things. One time it scared me. Ed remembers this. My granny sitting around the fire. You know what granny does? She does her granny stuff at night, sitting by the fire. And I had a whole bunch of Pentecostal people come over. They had the white shirts on. I'd never seen any shirt as white as that ever. With a Bible in the hand, telling Granny about the gospel. And my granny would just say, yeah. She doesn't understand the word they're saying. I hope maybe the Holy Ghost opened up her ears to understand about what they're saying. Plus, they were very strange, and they were like, they kept going like this. And I it scared me. I'm looking at them, what's going on with that guy? Ever notice that? Anybody ever afraid of people like that? It scared me. Because I never want to see a Pentecostal again. I was a pretty good Catholic, you know, it scared me. Some people, they get so crazy, you know, they get so filled with the Spirit of God, they scare everybody away. Before you actually can tell them about Jesus, like, you're crazy. I'm not going to stay around you. Get out of here. But anyways, that's a free story if you want to use it. But do I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's a choice. So I made a choice in my life. I don't know about you, but I made a choice because Jesus is my shepherd. The only time I can be afraid, really legitimately afraid, is if I just walked out of the things of God, just turned my back on God, and went out there without God. Then I have a reason to be afraid. But if I'm walking with God and trying my best to follow God, I have nothing to fear. Nothing. I'll never run out of money. I'll never be afraid. I'll never be alone. I'll always have resources. There'll never be a day when I say, I don't have any resources. What if I run out of strength? I'll always have strength. I'll always know what to do. I have wisdom. He is the wisdom of God. I make a decision. I said, I'll never die of sickness. I'm not going to die of sickness. I'm going to die, close my eyes and go to sleep, and I'm gone. Amen? You know, I don't want to be sick. Do you want to be sick? You know, just like tubes coming out all over you. You've been like that for 10 years. And everybody's all worked up. That's not a blessing. And there's people, as you know, like, you know, of course they cry because they're gone now. That person is gone. They're going to miss them, but not in that condition. Let them go home. And I was there's people that we talked about, you know, there's just no peace at all. I said, let's pray, let them go home. Are you okay with that? So we prayed, and we prayed. We said, let grandma go home, let dad go home. Let's pray right now. He's born again. He's a Christian. For some reason, he never was able to receive his healing. Let's just let him go home. And they went home, and within a few hours, they're gone. Peace of God. You know where they're going. You know where Granny is. So that's the question why I had about Granny, because I wondered where Granny was. It's none of my business where Granny is. It's neither your business where Granny is. Worry about yourself. Settle your questions. Now, let me show you something. I got all these things to show you. In Genesis chapter 3, here's a story about not being, you know, in peace and following, you know, something else. Adam and Eve were with God. You know, Adam, Jesus, when he came, he was like the first Adam, he was like, he's just called the second Adam, because he was made into like what Adam was when he came to this world. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord and amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called out to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid." What's he afraid of? He's talking to God, talking to him, wants to talk to him. "Because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree where I commanded thee that you shouldn't?" See, after he sinned, he started to run from God. And after he ran from God, he kept making bad decisions over and over and over again. See, when we're separating ourselves from God, we're not following peace anymore. The more you walk away from God, the more bad decisions you'll make, because you're not following peace anymore. You're running from God. When they told, God says, "Where are you?" They kept running away from God. And that's what's wrong with a lot of folks today, because they keep running from God. They don't want to listen to God. They think, you know, for some reason, the devil tells them following God is a bad choice, because you're going to miss a lot of fun. I've asked people, "You want to receive Jesus today?" "No, no, 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 no. I want to have more fun." That's true. You know people like that? How many people know people like that? "I don't want to serve God." For some reason, they think they can't have no more fun. Right? Man, having a bowl of soup today, man, that's a lot of fun. Hey? The Holy Ghost can make that just an experience. Woo! Eh? Just simple things, like thinking about the chicken makes me just get high or something. I mean, just being the Holy Ghost is so wonderful, right? So I'm not running from God. So following, you know, the more we, you know, here's the story about Adam and Eve. Our people, our young people are being taught, like, I know we had some of this as well. We're taught that Adam and Eve, like the first Adam was like an ape. You know? Like, you know, Adam and Eve is he's like an ape. He's grunting all the time. Making decisions like that. We think that Adam was like that. Adam was so dumb. He didn't even know how to make fire. Hey, and we were taught that Adam and Eve, that's where they were like. They were like apes. They don't know how to make a decision, and they're not intellectual. They have no mind of their own. They're just kind of running by their feelings. They have hunger. God talked to him and he's grunting away. But he wasn't. Adam was so smart. He named all the animals. He had the mind of, like, so intelligent. So the world teaches us that Adam and Eve, like the first men, were like that, but he was not. No, God created man in his image. And I know that you have a good image. Let's all stand because we got to get out of here. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We're going to show you some more about this fear business and how people make decisions on these things. And we need to have more peace in our lives. How many people could enjoy a little bit more peace? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on. Walk a little faster. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you today for the peace of God that rules in our heart. Let the peace of God be the deciding factor in every decision we make. We thank you for the Prince of Peace has come. He lives in our hearts. He's there right now in the person of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, the peace that passes all understanding is in us right now. And I don't know how things are going to work out in different situations in my life, but I know you have a good plan, a plan far beyond my own imagination, far beyond whatever anybody else thinks about it. But you are awesome, God. And so we pray the prayer of submission to you. We submit our lives to you. We dedicate and rededicate our lives to you, God. We say, Lord, do whatever you need to do in my life. It's your word that says, it is God who works in me, who wills and to do his good pleasure, that you are giving me the desires to follow you, to do what you want me to do, so that I will be a blessing. And I pray, Father, that my life will be a blessing, that I'll make a difference in people's lives. If they meet us, they say, oh, what a wonderful experience knowing that person. Oh, hallelujah. There's something about that person. There's something about that woman. There's something about that man, about that girl, about that young man. Something about that person makes me feel happy to be around them. Something about them brings the joy of the Lord every time I see them. We thank you for the peace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, people. Let's praise him and thank him. Lift your hands up and say, Father, we praise you. We thank you for the peace of God. I'm not led by anything else but by the peace of God. I will not be led. I'm not going to make a move until I learn the peace of God. Hallelujah. I don't have to make a decision right away. I don't have to do this or do that, but I'm going to let the peace of God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.